Do you know what the word veteran means? Veteran means dead 4 days and yet stinketh. Amen? I'd like you to meet my first wife and thank the Lord, my only wife. Amen. If we had 9 kids with one wife, if I'd had 2, 18, 3, that'd be 27. That'd be a lot of kids, wouldn't it? Amen. I'm glad to be here. Now, well, I've got some things I've got to get off my chest before I can share and preach. One of the things is, I was in Sunday school. How many of you were in Sunday school? Tell the truth. And this young guy over here, Dave, he's no relation. He couldn't be. He did a good job. He kept saying this. He goes, "And what did Job know?" And I'm going, "Tell me." He goes, "And what did Job know?" If he asked that one time, he asked that 10 times. "And what did Job know?" And he said at the end of it, just at the end, I mean, there was that little bell, and he goes, what Job knew was that he had something to look forward to. Now, excuse me, I've got to finish that lesson, because if I wouldn't have been in Sunday school and in church, I wouldn't have known the real answer. The real answer came from our dear brother pastor. I'll ask the question again, what did Job know? And the first answer was, he knew that he had something to look forward to, but I listened in every part of this service so far, and our dear pastor said he knew that he'd see Jesus face to face in his birthday suit. I never knew that before. That's what you said. Now, I tell you something. You get these two guys together, I don't know what you'll have, but you'll have excitement. I'd rather be here than in a sane asylum, right? I lived there too many years. I'm glad to be out. We are delighted to be here. I'd like to give some greetings. I do this sometimes. I'm going to do it today. These names that I'm giving, most of these people have asked the Lord to save them in our years there in this last church plant. On a typical Sunday, this is not our morning attendance or our evening attendance, but if you take the different people that come there in the morning, some come in the morning and evening, different ones come in the evening, we have in a typical Sunday 80 to 100 people. Amen. And I'd like to say greetings from the Peninsula Baptist Church, from Rosa and Ricardo and Maribel and Paula, from Pedro and Mikasa and Pedro and Jorge and Maritza, from Juan and Martina and Samuel and Abby, from Ernesto and Daisy, from Gloria. Greetings from Gonzalo and Rosanette and their cute little girl, Rosanette. Greetings from Genoveva and from Oscar and from Jose and from Hilda and from Abelardo and Paloma and from two ornish little Mexican boys that ever laced their shoes, Oscar and Bruno. Greetings from Jorge and Alejandra and from Carlos and Maria. Greetings from Gonzalo and Concepcion and Jesus. Greetings from Abram and David and Mirza. From Miguel and Leticia and Jesus. Greetings from Sara and from Walter and Abril and Christina and Cheryl. Greetings from Efigenia. Greetings from Anna. Greetings from Alejandro and Rosa and Flor and Paulina. And from Pastora and Luis and Graciela and Luis and Braulio and Israel. Gracias from Margarito and Reina and Luis and Jorge and Gladys. Greetings from Moses and Glendy and Jesus and Brian Alexander. Greetings from Fernando and Lina. Greetings from Juana and Manuel and Angel. From Evelyn and Jessica and Eduardo. Greetings from Wilson and Maribel and Andrea and Sharon and Wilson and Drake. From Israel and Nancy and Nati and David. Greetings from Josue and Abigail and Giselle. Greetings from my son-in-law, Jim and Julia and Nathaniel and Jessica and Jana. Greetings from Ronnie. Greetings from Minerva and Juliana. We are thankful that many people through me can send their greeting. And only God knows this, that may never have had a greeting to send if you wouldn't have sent some missionaries down there to tell them about Jesus Christ. Number one, I want to get the doctrine straight. Number two, I want to give some greetings. We got the doctrine straight. We're going to see Jesus in our birthday suit. Amen? Well, number two. Now hold it, preacher. I'm preaching. Hold it there. Number two. That's the problem with a preacher. You just can't control him. Amen. Number two, I wanted to say there are a lot of people down there. Maybe you'll never see them on this side, but you'll get to see them in heaven someday. Thank you very much. Number three, I want to say that we're in a time of transition in our church. And I want to preach. And when I preach, I want to tell you what it means to me. And I want to tell you what it means to our church. And I want to tell you what it means to you. And I want to tell you what it means to this church. We're in a time of transition. I love to preach. I love to preach. We've started a Bible Institute. We call it a seminary. I love to teach. But you know what? I was an American pastor for 19 years. If I continue to do all the preaching, there won't be anything when I'm gone.
You're right.
So now my job is I go back. And someone said, well, I'll tell you what they said. It kind of irks me, but I'll tell you what they said. 27th of March. Now, I hope you write this down because that was my birthday. March 27. Preacher, get a pen out. Mark this thing down. March 27. I mean, you may not have clothes to go to see Jesus, but take your pen out and write it down. On March 27, we had this new lady. Her name is Hanoveva. And Hanoveva and her husband... That lady's name is Black. Am I right or am I wrong? White. Okay. I met her in the hallway downstairs, and she lost it down there, too. Well, we were there on March 27. I know it doesn't matter to you, but it matters to me. A big day, my birthday. And I turned, and they sang a song before I tell you how far I turned. They sang a song, and I know the first stanza. I mean, I can sing it. Second stanza, I can sing it. And they come to this third stanza. And the third stanza, I'm going to paraphrase it. It basically goes like this. We're not going to sit down and shut up until you tell us how old you are. I thought I just ought to let them sing all night. Amen? And finally I stood up and said, okay, fine. I'm 64. This new lady in our church, Hanoveva, said, he's lying. He's lying. Look at him. He's at least 75. I said to the ushers, get her out of here. Amen. Do you have ushers here if we need somebody to help us with control? I believe we're going to need some today. In these next 4 to 6 years, we must make sure that they can do everything we can do. You see, if God can save a gringo, he can save a Mexican.
Yes.
You see, if God can use a gringo, he can use a Mexican.
Yes.
You see, if God can call a gringo to preach, he can call a Mexican to preach.
Yes.
If God can help a gringo to lead the music, he can... He can use, what I'm saying is, whatever we can do, we're not his favorites. They can do. Well, we got to teach them to do it. And so for these next 4 to 6 years, that's how long it's going to take. We pray, would you please pray with us that God will give us the wisdom and humility, patience, that we'll be able to train them to do what we can do so that the work cannot just go on, but the work can do way better.
Amen.
When this gringo is gone.
Amen.
Than when this gringo was there. That's our prayer.
Amen.
Now, my text is John chapter 4, verse 34. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, John, chapter 4, verse 34. I think there are a few books between there, but I was never good with names. John chapter 4, verse 34. I'm only one time going to slip into verse 35. But basically the text is 34. When I refer in a little bit later to 17 words, these 17 words that I'll refer to over and over again are what it says after this comment, Jesus saith unto them. These are the 17 words basically we want to emphasize today. Here they are. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. He used 17 words. Of those 17 words, 16 of those are five letters or less. Only once did he use a real big word. Only once. The word finish, six letters. And of these 17 words, listen, even a child could understand what he was saying if he wanted to understand what he was saying. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Today, I'd like to take this text and I'd like to entitle the message, When It's All Been Said and Done. There's a day coming when for you and for me, it will all have been said and done. A couple weeks ago, we were in a church, and I like to fool around some. I knew that'd be out of order in this church because you're real stiff and formal here. So I've got my good manners on today, amen? But I wanted to come in. That was a day that squirrel said to Jesus Christ had to come at 5 o'clock on the 21st of May. Now he said something happened and his calculator jammed, and really what he meant to say, he's coming on the 21st of October. Well, we know what day he's not coming. Now, I know he could come any day, but I'm saying to say that you know more than Jesus, that's a pretty blasphemous statement, isn't it? And I wanted, the temptation was, I'd seen the pastor, he's a new pastor, didn't know him, the old pastor's a personal friend of mine. We met the pastor, and I wanted after Sunday school to slip out. We had Sunday school, and we had the morning service, and then I wanted to come in late for church, and my comments as I ran to the pulpit was, good night, I didn't expect to see you here today. But my question is, if Christ would come today, would you still be around to come to the evening service? And I'll guarantee if he comes this morning, you're left. You'll be breaking down the front door to get in to find out what happened. And so today the message is when it's all been said and done. I'd like to summarize here what Jesus said with this other statement. When it's all been said and done, nothing will compare with fulfilling God's will for my life. When it's all been said and done, nothing will or can or could compare with fulfilling God's will for my life. Now, I'd like to tell you five things that Jesus said about the Father's will. Notice the first truth, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, what's the next word? Now listen. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The first truth that Jesus taught was this, that the Father's will for his life was personal. Now I believe that there's a general will of God. For example, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You don't need to go to the preacher and ask him, listen, I'd like to pray that my uncle could be saved, but I don't know if it's God's will. It's God's will. You say, but everyone's not going to get saved. Yeah, and God's smart enough to know who is and who isn't. But we're not smart enough to know that. So we got to treat them all like they may want to get saved. And how are you going to know if they want to get saved? You don't tell them how to get saved. All right. And I know there's a general will of God. And after you get saved, then you ought to walk daily with the Lord. We teach the Mexicans like this. This is their sign. Can you do it? That's their sign for a telephone. Come on, let me see your telephone. Okay, there's your telephone. I'm going to teach you three things, three signs, and then I'm going to preach. This is what? Telephone. Okay, so when I mention telephone, what are you going to do? Do it, or you'll be singing a special up here. Number two, I'm going to continue to teach you to speak Spanish without saying a word. There's a word, no. It was one of the favorite words of my children when they were little. Sometimes I thought it was the favorite word of my, I can't remember what her name is. It's the word no. Do you know how the Mexicans say no without saying a word? Like this. Let me see it. Don't be rebellious. Let me see it. All right, we've learned two things so far. Telephone. Telephone. We've got one guy back there. He's got his leg up in the air. Telephone. Just your hand will be enough. Second is no.
No.
And the third thing is yes. Okay, come on, come on, come on. This is serious stuff now. I'm going to get to the preaching. Telephone? No? Yes. Well, we know that the general will of God, you needed that to be able to help me finish the rest of the sermon. I might have a senior moment, and I'll need that to pull me out of it. We know here clearly what he said. He said, my meat. God has a special will, a general will for everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone that's saved to have a daily time on the telephone with the Lord, right? Am I right? He wants that. He wants us to read our Bible. He wants us, that's, you read the Bible, that's when you listen to what God has to say to you.
Yeah.
And then when you pray, that's when you tell him how you're feeling.
Right.
For Mexicans, that's really cool. They don't know about prayer. They know about memorizing something. And when you tell a new person, you say, listen, you don't have to worry about what the next word is. You just tell him what you want to tell him. They go, wow, this is really neat.
Yeah.
Now, the general will of God, everybody be saved. Huh? The general will of God that we use our telephone every day with him. All right? Are you with me? The general will of God that we confess our sins. The general will of God that we're faithful in church, that we tithe, that we tell people about Jesus. Many things. But God has a personal will for you. Last year was the lowest year in my ministry. You say, why? Well, whenever the fellow that I thought quite possibly would be the next pastor of the church, who was the treasurer of our church, in whose name our church building that we had just purchased was in his name, because legally it couldn't be in our church name yet. When I found out that he had been taking money for months from the offerings, and we confronted him, and he and his wife left, and his father that was in charge of the music ministry and his mother left. She's a big key in the children's ministry. And his brother-in-law, who my son had just trained to take over the youth ministry, he left. And his wife that was in charge of the choirs and all the special events, she left, and some other families left. And they all said they tithe. I never checked, but God knows he keeps good records. I honestly wondered, how in the world could I be so stupid? My wife said, that was never a real question for me, but it's always been a question for me. How in the world could I be so stupid? How can I believe that that fella could be what he's never going to be? Now, we wanted to restore him. He couldn't have been the treasurer again, but he could have been restored. I mean, God can forgive you of any sin. And he can restore you from any sin. Maybe not to the exact same place, but he can restore you. But you can't be restored if you don't know you need to be restored. When he walked out, I wondered, how's it all gonna work out? And God, with this verse, my meat. He said, you remember, I got something for you to do that nobody else on planet Earth can do.
Amen.
You say you think you're special. Not any more than you, but if you know Christ as Savior, we're all special. Am I right? So God's got something special for you to do. My mother-in-law said to me, and she's a dear Christian lady. She's 88 years old. We just spent some time with her. We scrubbed all of her carpets and planted her flowers and did a lot of things that needed to be done. She asked some time ago, she said, "You've done your time down there in Mexico," like it was a sentence, you know. You got to do. "You've done your time there. Are you going to come home before I die?" My dad is and my mother are godly people. Dad was an independent Baptist preacher for years, and Dad's now, September the 12th, he'll be 86, and Mom just turned 82 or 3. My mom said, "Are you going to come home before we die?" I don't like those kind of questions. I will tell you this. God has something for me to do. Amen. And as far as I can see up till right now, it's still in Mexico. Amen. Now, what's he have for you to do? That's the question. You know that grandson of yours that doesn't know Christ as Savior? I don't even know him. But you know him. You know, there's something that we can all do. Isn't that great? God doesn't have any dodo Christians. There aren't any. I mean, if he saved you, he's got confidence that you can do his will. First truth, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. God's will for your life is personal.
That's right.
Two, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." The word meat, it means food. It means Jesus was saying, doing what my Father wants me to do is as important as eating.
Yes, right.
As important as eating? Is eating important to you? Yeah. Well, it's important to me. I love potato chips. When I go in the store and I go past the potato chips, there's always the same noise. It goes like this. That's the way they call somebody if you're at a table in Mexico and you want some help from the waiter, waitress, you go. When I go buy those potato chips bags, they something, I don't know, inside, behind, it's a recorded message, it goes. And if I listen real clearly, it'll say, "Eat me. I dare you." Well, I decided I have high cholesterol. It was 370 some. That's high. And they said it had nothing to do with my health issues. That was by heredity. But the lady said, the doctor, she said, "But whether it's heredity or whatever, it can kill you." So I take pills every day. And I decided I'm going to give up potato chips for the cause. What a man of God. Amen. And this is truth. I went a day without it. I didn't say amen. The sermon's coming, folks. Just give me a break. I went 2 days. I went a week. Woo! And you thought Moses was great. I went a month. The best I can remember, I went about 5 months without eating potato chips. This is the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wow. The next question was, what was I thinking? I mean, my best friend, I've turned my back. And finally, this is the truth. I thought, what would it hurt if I just eat one? Now, I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth. I ate one. I ate two. I ate five. I ate 10. I ate the whole bag. And it wasn't a little one either. Now, you know the truth is, but Jesus didn't say, "My bag of potato chips is to do the will of him that sent me." You see, God's will isn't junk food. God's will's more important than the food we need to be alive. Is it that important in your life and in mine? Two of the five truths that God wanted to teach us, he's spoken. One, God's will is personal. Two, it's as important as the food we need to eat when it's all been said and done. The house I live in, the car I drive, the clothes I wear, what people think about me, what I'm able to accomplish, what my children do, aren't really the most important things. The most important thing is, did I know God's will for my life? And did I do it? Truth number three. He said, my meat is to, what's the next word? I know it's a big one, but what's the next word? Do. Two letters. You know, we as Americans, we love to plan. I saw the preacher's plans. And in Mexico, I like to plan. Carol will tell you, I love to plan. I mean, I love to plan. I mean, I'd rather plan than play basketball. I mean, I love to plan. I'd rather plan than eat potato chips. Can you imagine that? And we bought our first property, and we were sitting out there, and we were hoping, we were making payments, $4,000 every 3 months, and we were going to have it paid off. We had 1 month from the D-Day. We called it Victory Sunday. We had already announced it. And Victory Sunday became for us a day when we announced to the church, well, we lost our property. $40,000 isn't much, you say. It was for us. It was just about all we had. And the guy said he wasn't going to sell it to us. And we also knew he had plans. Christian fellow, Christian evangelist. And he had plans. He was going to skip town. He divorcing his wife. I'm going to take our money and run. And we were able to file it's called a demanda against him. It would hold him in his position. We were able to get all of our money back. And I charged him 1 month's payment. $4,000 is as good to me as anyone else. Amen? But you know what? We didn't go to Mexico to have money in the bank. Now, I'm not denying anything the pastor said. Should you have savings? Sure you should. Is that a prudent way to do it? Certainly it is. God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. But you know, we went there to have a building. And we had planned, I had it all figured out. There's a big circular drive coming in. There was a gate here and a gate here. And we put big walls around everything. Does anyone know why? We put big walls around the church, not to keep the people from coming in, but to keep the people from getting out before the preacher says amen. And we had it all figured out. They're going to bring in their bikes. They're bringing in their cars. They're going to bring in their donkeys. And they're going to, here, there was a place to park. There was a beautiful auditorium. And we were going to have a baptistry and two stories over here. We had it all planned. I had it all figured out. And we lost the property. We bought a second piece of property. You say, you're a little dumb, aren't you? You're ugly too, aren't you? We had it all figured out. This was a new one. It was like a piece of pie they call cuchilla. It came down to a point. And listen, big walls around it. You do build big walls for protection, high walls. It's just a prudent thing to do. We had it all figured out. Hey, we're going to have high walls everywhere except, and the point, we were going to have all this nice protection around there, like bars, but nice, decorated nice, with some beautiful flowers. We were going to have a beautiful circular baptistry out there. And when you said, I've received Christ as my Savior, and I want to prove to you I'm not ashamed of it, you're going to be baptized out there where anybody walking down the street could see you. It was a beautiful idea. But they wouldn't give us permission to build. No, two for two. And again, I had a beautiful set of plans on that one. And finally, the moral of the story is this. It's not wrong to plan, but planning isn't enough. Now, if you're talking about a building, with God's help, build it. Build it. Do it. Well, you know, when this happens or that happens, no. Do it. Someone said, it's not what I don't know that causes me the problem. It may have been Mark Twain. He gets credit for a lot of things. I think many of those smart things that they credit him for, probably your humble servant said them. But he said, it's not the things I don't know that give me the problems. It's the things that I know that don't do that give me the greatest problems. Okay, three of the five truths. One, God's will is personal. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Two, it's as important, God's will is as important as the food you need to sustain your life. Three, he said it's to do. God's will should be prayed about. It's something we should plan, we should think, we should share, we should be excited. But listen, you haven't done anything until you've done it. Done it. My son called me up, or I called him. He wanted desperately to go to the Marines. He went to Bible school, but he never had his heart into it. I never prayed that my sons would be pastors or missionaries. I pray that they'll do the will of God for their lives. Amen. Our oldest daughter, well, her husband's a missionary. They're helping us down there now. Our second son is a missionary. Our third daughter married a pastor. Our fourth daughter's faithful in a church. Our fifth daughter, she and her husband are missionaries. Our sixth son is faithful in a church. He's a musician. And our next son's preparing to go to the mission field in France. And then our next daughter and her husband are planning to go to the mission field in France. And our last son, John. And I love John as much as any of them. But he kind of had this opinion, you know, if I can't be a pastor or missionary, I'm nothing. I said, listen, if you're supposed to be a garbage man, if you do what you're supposed to do, you know, that's good. I just advised him I'd go to cold climate to collect the garbage, not to Mérida, Yucatan, Mexico. Amen? Because the perfume is free with the garbage. So he went off into the service. And he went to Iraq and didn't see any action. And he signed up to be a grunt. Boy, there's future in being a grunt. You know what a grunt is? Somebody says, the bullseye's here. See if you can hit it. And finally, he came back home, and then he went to Afghanistan. And they said, your group, whatever the group means, I get confused in all the different levels. You've done the best here, and so we're going to give you the most action. He, in a period of 7 months, saw two of his best friends killed. He stepped in a landmine. There's a point to it all. And it didn't go off. And to make a long story a short story, he marched with about 120 pounds of body armor. Marched or walked is more correct. And with his big pack, because he slept outside for 6 of the 7 months. Never able to take a bath. God was prepared to be a garbage man in Mérida, Yucatan. Amen. And finally, he came home, and he came home alive. He was given a special silver or bronze star for valor. And we're proud of him. And they were putting pressure on him. They were saying, look, you need to go back. You need to go back. These guys here, they're going to Afghanistan. And look, they're not disciplined. And if they die, you'll be. And I said, John, don't let somebody put you on a guilt trip, buddy. Amen. You've gone there. Yep. You've served, and you've served well. And I wish he were a better Christian than he is. But for the other part of serving and serving well, he's done it. And I said, my suggestion to you is this. Been there, done that, moving on. Amen. And you know, sometimes in the Christian life, we forget this part. We gotta be where we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to do. And we got to keep on moving on. Truth number 4, he said in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. What's the point? God's will is something that must be done without delay. His name was Jack Kane. Jack Kane was 6'8", 270 pounds. My dad built a baptistry. Now, my dad loves God and he wins people to Christ, but he should have thought a little better before he built the baptistry. A cement block baptistry. And when you get down those blooming steps, there wasn't enough even an angle to get him down under. I called Bud Sherget up. About 5 o'clock that afternoon, Jack said, I was at his house, said, I'm going to be baptized. I said, we'll do it tonight. I called Bud Sherget up. I said, Bud, I got a problem. He said, what is it, Pastor? I said, I've got a guy here, Jack Kane. He said, what? I said, he wants to be baptized. He goes, oh. I said, Listen, I think I can get him down, but I don't think I can get him up without banging his head. And you know, a Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid Keller in the baptistry just doesn't look good for the next person that's going to follow him. Well, we got him down, and Bud got him up. And where there was no blood in the thing, and he began to serve the Lord, but he was holding back. This is a true, so true of a story. And he kept saying, you know what, when I get my kids grown, well, duh, we had 9 kids. We had kids in our home for 35 years. When I get my kids grown, well, duh, you should have thought about that one. And he said, when I get my house paid off. Finally, one day he came to me. At that time when he told me this, I did not realize that within 6 or 8 months I'd be leaving that church, and I went to the second church. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do it now. I'm going to make a commitment with you. Now remember, we're not talking about some little runny fella. He was a guy 6'8", 275 pounds. And he said, I'll come out on Thursdays, but I don't want to go door to door. I want you to go with me and tell my friends how to go to heaven. Well, I like to, you know, I use a little humor, and I smile, and I say, oh, what church you been to? And I like to relate to them, because if they can relate to me, hopefully a little bit, they'll listen to more of what I have to say about Jesus. Jack and I'd go in, and he'd say, hi, this is my pastor. Shake his hand, pastor. I shake his hand. He said, he's going to tell you how to go to heaven. You have a Bible? Bring it out. Just listen to what he's got to say. Yes, sir, like a drill sergeant. In those last 6 months, hardly a Thursday went by that he and I didn't visit some of his friends, and many of them asked Jesus to save them. Everyone we went to see at least heard how to go to heaven. Why? Because Jack learned truth number 4. God's will isn't something you can just put off. You can't ever use the word until. It's something you've got to do without delay. Outside the walls, and the walls outside of the city of Jerusalem. Some years ago, I read this illustration. And there was a sign, it said, emblazoned on the walls, it said this, if not you, who? Right. If not here, where? Right. If not now, when? God's will is something we got to do without delay. What is your until? And number 5, God's will, he said, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to, give me the next word, it's the big one, it's the big one. Finish his work. God's will is not something we just think about, we pray about, we start, we continue, we work at. It's something that we work at until it's done. Yeah. Did you ever feel tired? Huh? Did you ever feel discouraged? Say, not me. You fibber. No, God's will is something we do until it's all been done. When it's all been said and done, is God's will, do you know what God specifically has you in here on planet Earth to do? When it's all been said and done, is it as important to you as the food that you eat? When it's all been said and done, was God's will something for you that you did? You did it without delay. And was it something you not only did, but you finished? I read a story several years ago about they came to a marathon in the Olympics. These little guys, dark-skinned fellas from some African country. Man, they're as small as can be, but could run like the wind. And they started, and when the signal was given, they started to run, and they were doing well. And this one fellow, dark-skinned fellow from an African country began to run, was doing really well. And finally something happened, and he fell down, and he got boogered up. I'm from Pennsylvania. You'll have to forgive me. Boogered up isn't just talking about your nose, amen? Boogered up saying he was bleeding. He was hurt. He was hobbling. They came over and attended him. A true story. And he was all bandaged up, and they said, what a shame, you were doing so well. You could probably, who knows, you might have won. Wow, you just have to wait till the, he said, I've got to keep on going. He got up and he continued to run. I don't know if you'd say run or what you would say. And he got into the stadium. The last person before him arrived 2 hours before. And when he came in, the people from his country, man, they were going wild, amen? They were going wild. And somebody came to him and said, man, what in the world were you thinking? Why didn't you just save your body for the next race? And he said, my country didn't send me here to just start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race.
Yes.
And I just finish it.
Amen.
My question is, the question of my mother and mother-in-law. Carolyn and Dawn, are you going to come home before we die? We see them. We try to come home at least once a year. This time we're home for 3 months. This is church number 17 we visited. And Sunday tonight, church number 18. And we'll spend a couple weeks. And we spent a couple weeks with my mother-in-law. We'll spend some more time. We'll be with Dad for his birthday this coming Sunday. And going to clean the shrubbery out and clean the windows and whatever we need to do. And spend some time with him. Take him to a restaurant because we love him. But if the question is, are we ready to come home yet? Oh, we're ready to come home. But we can't come home. Because that big word he used, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I visited with my dad and mom. I came home last year because mom had had 2 hip surgeries. And first one didn't take and they had to redo it. And then she had a heart attack, right, Carolyn? Stroke, heart attack. And then Dad's always been healthy, and he gets Mom through this thing, and he has a stroke, and he had got kidney failure, and he's okay from that now. And I just wanted to come home to be with my dad.
Yes.
You say, did you come in for any other reason? I just came home because I wanted to be with my dad.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we, my dad and mom, they're faithful to read the Bible every day. They used to, they read, it's not their eyesight problem, but now they have it on the King James Bible on a disc and then put it on the television. And he said, well, we're a couple chapters behind. I don't know what our problem is. He said, we're going to listen to 3 chapters, 4 chapters today. And he said, today we're going to pray with what you want to pray for. And I told him some things. He said, well, go ahead and pray. He said, tomorrow we're going to pray like your mom and I always pray. Carolyn, you'll get to see it. We were with Dad and Mom this week, I'm sure. And after we listened to some more chapters, they started to pray. My dad, then my mom. My dad, and my mom. I'm not trying to exaggerate, but I believe they mentioned no less than 150 people by name, pastors. Any pastor my dad had ever been near him, he prayed for about 25 pastors. And they prayed for the whole family. Good night. We've got 16 grandkids alone, 9 kids, and the rest of us. And he prayed for all these people and these shut-ins. And you know what my conclusion was? Dad thought he was maybe washed up because he can't preach much. He's still got something very important to do. If you're still here, my friend, God's still got something very important for you to do. Would you pray for the Carney family? Pastor, may I take 2 minutes more?
Yes.
God has done some wonderful things in our church, but we've got to finish what we started. And I want to just close, and this is like a preview of a newsletter you'll be getting in a while, but I just feel I should close with this. First time in our ministry, 4 generations of one family, and the last about 11 months have been saved. We start with a lady, 29-year-old lady. Her name is Paloma. She gave you greetings. Her husband isn't saved yet. He's an ex-Mormon, but she asked the Lord to save her.
Amen.
We found her in visitation, and Carolyn and I went back, and She had been reading her Bible every morning. Now, you be careful of that book, the Bible, because if you read it, it can save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
And we went back. This is the truth. And we gave. Here's the gospel we give, only in Spanish. We say it like this. Number one, and I'll give you the verses. Number one, you're not as good as you think you are. You're a sinner.
Yep.
Two, your sin's way worse than you think it is. Because if you don't get forgiven, you'll have to pay for it forever in hell. Three, Jesus did what he did because no one else could have done what he did.
Yes.
He paid for my sin, yes. And he proved that he did because he stood up and walked out of the grave on the third day.
Yes.
And number four, you got to come to Jesus by faith. It's by faith, by grace. It's not by works. Repenting of your sin, the same act, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That day Paloma did, and she was saved.
Amen.
29-year-old biologist, mother of two. Well, then she starts to talk to her mom and dad, and her mom and dad are going, they didn't know our church until then. Wow, what a change in this girl. What's happened? And she said, Mom, I've been saved. And they're going, well, what? I've been saved. But her mother, Genoveva, 50-some years old, was the next to fall under the power of the Holy Spirit and be saved. And she had been reading her Bible, Carolyn, for a couple years. Gets up every morning at 4:30, a Catholic lady. Now, if you're a Catholic person, we don't hate Catholics. We love Catholics. We've given 20 years of our life to minister, and 90% of the people we minister to are Catholics. But we just don't like the lies that are taught in the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And so she'd been reading her Bible, and she comes to church, and Carolyn follows her up, and several times she'd give her the gospel, and the lady'd say, I get it now. I just got to do more good works. And you go, wow. You see, if the Holy Spirit isn't working, he's not working. I mean, if they didn't understand the gospel and see their need, they can't be saved yet. Am I right? And finally, she asked the Lord to save her. Well, 29-year-old girl, mother of two. Now her mother. Well, then her the lady's son, his name is Oscar, 6-7 years old. Ornery. With a capital, I think you spelled with a U, Ornery. Hey, one day, they come to visitation. Paloma now, she wants to go out and go visiting. Because what happened to her is so good, she wants to tell other people. And she brings her kids along. Oh, my, I mean, I'm in favor of soul winning, but leave those little devils at home. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about it. And I'm looking, I think, what should I do with this guy? I'm thinking, give it to my wife. She's such a perfect specimen of patience and all the rest. And I think, I just can't do that. I mean, I just can't do that. I'll take that boy with me. Now, I'm getting to it. And I took the little boy with me. And before I went, I said, look, we don't fool around, Oscar, when we go visiting. I mean, we don't jump through the bushes. We don't chase the dogs. We don't climb over the fences. We look the people in the eye. I'll give them my name. I'll tell them. And my friend, and you look them in the eye, and you say, I'm Oscar. First house we were at, here's what he said. I said, this is my friend. He said, my name is Oscar. He said, we go to a nice little church down here. Have you ever been there? If you've not, we'd really like you to come to our church. Shoot. Let the gringo shut up and just point to the kid and let him talk. Well, last December, he asked the Lord to save him. He's still an ornery devil. But you know, all of us still have a sin nature, don't we? 29-year-old Paloma, saved. 50-some-year-old mother, saved. 6-year-old grandson, saved. The grandpa, they said, was a tough nut. His name is Oscar, retired banker, late 50s. Kind of a proud man, not a Bible-reading man, not a church-going man. And he wasn't going to come because his daughter asked him or his wife asked him, but when his namesake, that little devil that asked the Lord to save him, don't tell me God doesn't have something for you to do.
That's right.
Forget that stuff. And He asked his grandpa to come to church. Well, he could tell his wife no and his daughter no, but he couldn't tell his grandson no.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And he came to church, and finally I said, look, we'd like to come by and talk to you. And he said, And this is the third time when they go, that kind of means we're not real interested right now. And finally we went to visit him. And that day, I began to share the gospel, and he said, would you wait a second? He went and got two pieces of paper, 8.5 by 11 sheets. He said, I hope you'll be patient with me. He said, this is just so important, I want to write it all down. A tough nut that never reads the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of his heart, he wants to write it all down. We came to the end, same 4 points I told you we almost always share. And asked him if he saw anything he needed to do. He said, I need to be saved.
Amen.
Now, how'd he figure that out? The Word of God and the Spirit of God, doesn't matter who the vessel was he used.
That's right.
Huh? And I said, when would you like to do it? He said, as soon as possible. I said, would today be okay? He said, it sure would.
Amen.
And he asked Jesus to save him.
Amen.
Well, I went to visit his grandparents. I lied. I took longer than 2 minutes, but this will be finished in two for sure now. The grandpa's father, 86 years old. His name is Jose. And his wife, she's 84. Her name is Ilda. I went to share the gospel with them, and I was talking in the beginning. They've come to church some, and they seem like they're interested. And you asked him about being saved, and some great miracle happened in his life, and that's what he traces it to. But the big miracle that has to happen for you to be saved is you've got to be born again.
Right.
And you've got to understand it to have it happen.
Yeah.
Well, to make a long story a short story, I start to share. I'm talking with him and joking with him, and he's going, yeah. And I start sharing the gospel, and at least 5 to 10 times, he looks over at his wife, and he said, what did he say? What did he mean? You know what? You might think that was funny, but for me, that was humiliating. And I left there and I went home and I said, great soul winner. The guy just keeps looking at his wife and said, what did he say? What did he mean? Hey, listen. If the Holy Spirit doesn't help you understand it, you're not going to get it. So I said to my son-in-law, who's kind of in charge since we left. And I said, you better go get him. And I'm thinking, wow, good luck. I mean, I've been there 20 years. I speak good Spanish. He's been there 2 years. Good luck. Hey, God bless you, brother. He went in with Oso, my helper. They sat down and began to share the gospel. He took an hour and a half because he wanted to make sure 86-year-old Jose and 84-year-old Ilda understood it. Never once did that man say to his wife, what did he say? What did he mean? And that day, he and she, 86 and 84, received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yes.
Conclusion. God's got something for everyone to do.
Yes.
Two. If you've never been saved, it's the same way they got saved.
Right.
Three. No one else can do what God wants you to do.
That's right.
May God help you. May God help Carolyn. May God help me to do it, Pastor.
Amen. What about you? Number one, are you saved today? Have you trusted Christ as your most important thing in life? Is to be saved and know when you die you're going to go to heaven. There's only two places, heaven and hell. When people die, they either go to heaven forever or they go to hell forever. And that's why Christ died on Calvary's cross and arose that third day so we could have everlasting life through him. I would say, preacher, there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I asked Christ to save my soul, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. May put them down. Is there any that say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Anyone like that today? Pray for me. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God wants us to finish our course. We have a job to do. We have to keep going until the job's done, till he calls us up. I'm glad Jesus finished his work. On the cross in John 19:30, he cried out, "It is finished." The redemption plan for mankind had been paid for. He had died and shed his blood for you and I. How are we doing lately telling others about that wonderful salvation of Christ? Maybe you've been discouraged lately. Maybe you've been thinking about quitting, giving up. Today, as Brother Carney preached about making sure you finish and doing God's will now. And you'd say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. Lately, I've been feeling like quitting, giving up. But God spoke to my heart today. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Pray that God will continue to help me finish my course. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yeah, I see that. God bless your hand. God, I see it. Yes, I see that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I see that. I see that hand back there. God bless you. It's hard sometimes. We get discouraged. Just got to determine. Brother Carney doesn't know. He doesn't get, know, but we've been set back many times on this building. I'm determined we're going to keep going. We're not going to quit till we get either the rapture or we get finished here. Maybe today you'd like to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to finish the course that you've got for my life. Heavenly Father, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to know my is personal. And Father, that your will is to be done now, not later. And that we need to finish what you set before us. And that no one else can do what we're supposed to do. You've got things for me to do. You've got places for me to be where nobody else could do that particular thing. You brought me to Ravenna, Ohio almost 21 years ago because I was the man that was supposed to be here. Thank you for speaking to me, Holy Spirit. And I pray that I'll always be pleasing to you. Help us, Father, today not to give up in this troubled world, but help us to do the work of God, always knowing that one day soon we're going to stand before our Savior. He's going to give us brand new bodies, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Help us, Father, not to turn back, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. If you'd like to come and pray, you come right now.